Okay, we're going to have a presentation by Jefferson County Drainage District Number 7. Who will be making the presentation? Okay, here.
I'm going to start it off, Judge, and then turn it over to our trustee engineer.
Okay.
What I'd like to do is start with our map, just for the sake of the commission, or group that's not familiar with our system. Most of it is in precincts 2 and 3. Of course, our district takes in Port Arthur, Rose, Port Nations, Neyland areas, and then the unincorporated areas of the county of Bulwark Gardens and Central Gardens. Our northern boundary up here is just inside of the Beaumont city limits. And that green line you see around the outside, that's basically bordered by the Nations River to the east, Taylor's Bottle to the west, and then the Skip Channel to the south. There are several pump stations built within the levee system, some inner city pump stations. We have three main canals in our system, which is mains A, B, and C. If you can tell, that's the heavy red lines. That conveys about 60% of the water within the district to what we call Alligator Mile Pump Station. This is the largest pump station we have. It pumps in excess of 2 million gallons a minute. The levee system we have begins back up here on high ground, closer to the hotel, and meanders down and across Highway 87, east of the Veterans Memorial Park, follows the Skip Channel, and runs in and through Chevron, Automotiva, Valero, and ends up at high ground back up here by the airport. The drainage district, since we completed the study back in 2002, have been real proactive in trying to improve our system. There were some $20 million in recommended improvements as part of that study, and we've been working in phases to implement a lot of those improvements. A lot of them were up in the Neyland area. If you're around town, you notice that we're widening some of the concrete lined ditches. Adam will get into this, but we built a detention pond facility here, which is right on our main sea canal. We're able to divert a tremendous amount of water into that detention pond, which not only gets the peak flow out of the Neyland area, but also takes some pumping pressure off of our Alligator Bottle pump station. So we've been really proactive over the last 6 to 8 years in trying to improve this system, and we feel like we have some good projects to put on the table here to try to get some funding for. And with that, there's no questions for me right now. We'll turn it over to Alan Sim. He's with Carolyn Blackman Consulting Engineers. They do quite a bit of work for our district in the planning process and design of some of these improvements.
Alan. All right, we propose, or turned in three projects for the CDBG money. The first is the Road Air Gully Laterals 3 and 3A. Second was main B diversion, and the third was the Hurricane Levee splash zone protection. Since we turned in the applications, the Hurricane Levee splash zone is actually the largest, it's about between $5 and $6 million. We want to take that one off the table because we've gotten the court to pay for that now.
Got what? Off the table?
Yeah, we'll take the Hurricane Levee splash zone. We're taking it off because the court of engineers are paying for it.
Let me give, it might be a good time to say, the original, the number of, the amount of the request for this limited pot of money so far was $68 million. So far, that has been reduced by $13,890,000, so roughly $14 million. So you're down to about $54 million in requests right now, and we'll see what happens with the rest of it.
So the issue now is,
yes, the only proviso is that we don't know what the round two eligibility requirements are going to be yet. Assuming that they're the same, these would qualify, but if they change them, which they often have to do, it could be different. Anyway, I'm sorry for the interruption.
On the hurricane levy, I'll just kind of cover that real briefly so you guys understand. We had a lot of water came over the sheet pile section in Port Arthur and eroded the backside of the levy. We applied for Corps. They agreed to repair the eroded sections. We do have some sections that did not have water come over, but are subject to the same possible problems in the future. We may come back in later, maybe round two or something, and make this a smaller project to cover the areas the Corps is not covering. But at this time, we want to take that one off. Next, we'll go to Valdera. This project is located in the Boulevard Gardens area. Which is just north of the airport. Most of y'all probably familiar with it. We're planning to enlarge and concrete line two major ditches in that area. What this will do is it'll provide for the ability to convey the 25-year storm, which is approximately 8-inch rainfall, and keep it within the channels. And what the results of that would move about 100 houses from flooding during 100 flood zones during 100-year storm events. Just as a quick example, this is your Boulevard Gardens area. This is where they're going through here. We have completed from about where I'm showing gears down through 365 or West Port Arthur Road. This section has been upgraded already. We're expecting sometime later this year to go into construction from here up towards 69. These projects have been ongoing. We're working diligently to upgrade the drainage, but this is the next major step, and this is our priority project out of the three, because this is where the largest number of houses flood currently. Yes, there was a question on there if there was additional funding. To be perfectly honest with you, this thing will get built. It may be 10, 15 years from now, unless we get additional funding from this type of source. But this is our primary area of concern because of these houses, approximately 100 houses right here. Just a regurgitation of the cost estimate that we turned in before. This was $3.2 million estimated cost. Next. Our second project that we're looking at is the Main B diversion. This will connect Main B to the detention pond we talked about earlier. The detention pond is just over 300 acres, holding just over 4,000 acre feet of storage, which is fairly significant. What this will do is, if we can connect Main B into the detention pond, then we can go upstream from Nederland, Port Neches, and the Port Arthur area around the mall and improve the drainage in that area. And without it going down into the main part of Port Arthur and impacting the people down there and the refineries, because if we do improvements upstream without doing something downstream, this is not going to work. So this provides an intermediate holding spot for that water so we can do improvements upstream. This will also, again, provide for a 25-year storm conveyance within the channel. Next. 69, right here, the connection will be right at 69 where Main B crosses, right there by. There's a church close to the new school that's going in. This will serve basically this whole area right in here and allow us to specifically address some drainage issues that are right up in this area. Cost estimate, once again, $3.2 million. If we have to choose, the road area is our number one choice. We'd love to get both of them funded. Next. Just so you understand, this is the pond here. This is Main C. This is the current station. What we need to do is build a weir structure, very similar to this right here, from on the opposite corner, which would kind of be over this way, into the same pond system. This is the pump station that's there to evacuate the pond. So you guys also understand our commitment to improving the drainage down here. In addition to improving the road area, we're currently in the process of finalizing the design and hopefully soon beginning construction on upgrades to Alligator Bayou pump station. Alligator Bayou is located right here and serves over 60% of our area. Next. This is a station that was built and completed in 78. It's 2.25 million gallon capacity. Next. And what we're adding right now is a 1.5 million gallon capacity pumping. We'll go in here. This is a $24 million project. The district is working on currently. This project will essentially eat up all of their funds this year and the next 3 to 5 years. That's the reason we can't do the others if we don't get some sort of funding. Next. Any questions you guys have?
How far is the alligator bio pump station from the navigation locks down there?
It is. The navigation locks are located right here. Right in this area is navigation locks, and this is the alligator pump station. Just downstream. You can actually see the navigation locks from the pump station.
Storm surge pushed that far.
Afternoon, Commissioner and Commissioners and Judge. I'm here along with our engineers, Carolyn Black, to represent Jefferson County Water Control and Improvement District Number 10. I am the general manager, Tom McDonald. Okay. A little bit of history. Water Control and Improvement Districts created by Texas Legislature. Ours was created in 1955, April of 1955, so it's been around for some time. Where are we at? Well, we're surrounded by Beaumont to the north and east, Port Neches to the east, and Borough Garden, Highway 69 to the west. So we have a boundary on the map there, that triangle there with Highway 347 and Highway 69. Outline our boundary basically between Nederland city limits and Beaumont city limits. What do? We provide drinking water and we provide wastewater services for roughly 6,000 persons that live in this rural area. We are encompassed of approximately 1,500 homes, residential homes. We have approximately 200 businesses. Commercial type businesses all the way up to industry on Highway 347 or North Highway 347, such as Arrow Key. Water plant produces up to 2 million gallons per day. Wastewater treatment plant design is 750,000 gallons per day. We also have a volunteer fire department that has been there for many, many years, was chartered in 1981. Our funding request is going to be presented by Toby Davis with Carolyn Black.
Thank you, Toby. Good afternoon, gentlemen. As Tommy said, my name is Toby Davis with Carolyn Black and Consulting Engineers. I believe the next slide identifies our funding request. We're asking for $300,000 for several items. The key item in our request is place an existing building that houses our electrical service for the water plant, the office, and the fire station and command center. The building is the electrical, the switchgear is basically the service entrance for the entire facility. Without the switchgear, without the building, basically the treatment plant would be down, the office would be down, fire station would be down, which is actually the emergency command center during a catastrophe. The other items are to install existing newly purchased generators at two of the systems, two of the district's main lift stations, and also receptacles and transfer switches at remaining lift stations for standby power. The next slide shows an excerpt from Senate Bill 221. This is one of several Senate bills that have been put before the legislature. I don't think any of them have actually been approved yet, but basically what they entail is requiring retail water providers, municipalities, entities, to have an emergency preparedness plan that basically identifies how they're going to cope with a power outage or a catastrophe, how are they going to provide water, sewer service. And the basic element that the TCEQ is going to require and is going to want to require in those plans are generators. And there's other ways to handle outages and sewer flows, but generators will be the crux of those plans. Okay, next slide, Tim. This is a slide that shows the interior of the district's electrical building, the house of the electrical service entrance, and also the pumps. This cabinet right here, the white cabinet over the door, is the service entrance. That's where all the electrical comes to the site. That's where the breakers are, the cutoff switches. On the right, we have the pumps. This, as I said, this electrical controls the electrical for the water plant, the office, the high service pumps, and also for the fire station and the command center. We say the switchgear is about 40 years old. It's probably older than that. As Tommy says, the plant was built in the 50s. The district was formed in the 50s, so we're pretty sure that this electrical was around back then. We got water in this building in the last two hurricanes, particularly in Rita. This is another slide that just shows the exterior of the building. As you see, we've got an old wooden structure. We have a tin roof. It's kind of in a deteriorating condition. One of the problems we have is that the main problem is the structure is the lowest part of the property. There's nothing that can be done. We can't raise it. It's on a slab. We can't do any drainage work around it because it's where everything goes to. If we try to take this electrical out of service to raise up the electrical and put it on something inside, like a pedestal or something, we would have to take the entire plant down during that period because all the electrical is coming out of this building. So the only alternative we have is to move over to another part of the site at their plant and build a new building with new electrical and then shut this down. Actually, and the last thing we said here is that we're pretty sure that the only reason this thing did not go fall down or get destroyed during Rita or I is because the conduit coming in and out of the building and the header pipe from the pumps that go through the wall, we think that's what held the building up. So. Okay, Tim. This is the panel we were just talking about, and as you see, we've got a red line struck across the bottom, and you can see it's a couple inches up from the bottom of the door. Okay, Tim, next one. And here's that same line, and this bottom piece down here is the 1200 amp main breaker. This was submerged during Rita. We got water in the building during Ike, not quite as bad. Had this kept going up, neither one of them, and this whole system would have been out of service. This is just another shot of the building. It shows the exterior, shows that we did lose some roof. We actually have more, this is from Rita, we actually have more roof damage during Ike. And you can see from this hole here, we wind up getting water inside the building from that also. Okay, Tim. The next item, parts of our project, are lift station generators for lift stations. We have two lift stations, the main ones, the central lift station and Price, which will be the next one in just a second. As you see, we've got a generator sitting here, so we're not asking for funds for a generator. We have a generator for Central, we have one for Price. We're asking for funds to connect the generator to the existing lift station with an automatic transfer switch. So in the event of a power failure, we will get automatic power.
We're going to try to elevate that generator?
We will. That's just sitting there right now. We will elevate it, yes. Yes. This is Price lift station. And we plan on actually bringing the fence this way a little bit. We want to put a generator that we have at this site and tie it into the electrical so when we have power outage, we'll have power. All right, okay, Jeff. The next two slides show seven lift stations, three of them on this one and four on the next. And these are smaller lift stations. Now, they're important because they serve people and they prevent overflows. However, they're not large enough, so large that we need a stationary generator. We want to install manual transfer switches and generator receptacles at these sites. We want to purchase a trailer mounted generator so that in the event of a power outage or catastrophe, district personnel on a rotational basis can service these lift stations and keep them pumped out. Okay, Tim. The next slide is our last one, I believe. There's the other four lift stations. Some points I'd like to just kind of go back real quick and make is that Jeff Tennant provides all the water and sewer for this area, and we're talking about from Nederland to Beaumont between 347 and Highway 69. We need a project for emergency situations and to avoid TCEQ fines. TCEQ is not very lenient. Whenever you get overflows, whether it's because you have a power outage or not, and with the new Senate bills that are going to be coming at us, and we're going to be required to prepare emergency preparedness plans, and there's going to be very little leniency there. Jeff Tin has basically, we've just come and asked for about $300,000. We think that we can do everything we need to with that amount. So if anybody has any questions, I'd like to try to answer those. $300,000.
Immediately after the storm, when all the initial
That's two projects.
These are our major needs right now.
Yeah, have you minimized your needs?
Yes. And plus, the board has elected to call for a bond election. So we're in May. We'll have an election in May for bonds for a sewer project to rehabilitate existing sewer line. We have a project going on right now to rehabilitate sewer lines. So they're actively trying to stay in compliance with TCEQ. They're spending every dime they can to try to stay out of trouble and do what they should.
Are you a tax addition?
I'm sorry?
Tax addition?
Yes.
Yes.
And 1,500 homes or something?
6,000.
I think that's
approximately 1,500 homes, yeah. And about 200 commercial and industrial type businesses.
I think it's 6,000
people. Well, population is 6,000.
Yes,
sir. Yes, sir.
They also provide active fire protection services.
Oh, this 200,000, yeah, 300, 200. The 200 was a generator mounted at each lift station, and this is X'd out now because you would look at this switch gear and a portable generator at risk.
Well, we had 200 in there originally, and we actually started looking at it yesterday and realized that to do what we really needed to do, we needed a little more funds. It's basically the same project. I believe we passed that over late yesterday afternoon. That was a revised estimate. And basically the difference between the two is the type.
Well, we were thinking it was two separate projects.
That's one project, I'm sorry. Yeah, we just we omitted one and then submitted the other.
Right. Any other comments?
Thank
y'all very much.
Thanks, sir.
Appreciate it. We have the board author.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Go ahead.
Sorry, just for a second here. Kind of a one-man wrecking crew tonight. And I'm not an engineer, but I did stay at the Holiday Inn Express. So. There you go.
Mark Gasper from the Ford Cone this morning. And apologize for his inability to be here, but he said he probably would have better been here than you think it would have been more capable man. His exact words.
Well, Director Gasper's very kind, and we have our board meeting tomorrow, so we're all a little busy working to that end. And I will try to be brief. If it's acceptable for you, I may do this from right here, if that works. Appreciate your time today. My name's Larry Kelly with